Are you a real estate syndicator or professional who is looking to grow your business in 2023? Are you tired of attending networking meetup after meetup and thinking that there has to be a better way? Have you ever thought about podcast guesting? According to Statista, podcasts are going to reach over 100 million listeners by 2024. Podcast guesting allows you to tap into that network of listeners. At Podcasting U, they have worked with hundreds of investors to secure guest placements on thousands of podcasts so they can raise more capital, generate brand awareness, and increase their credibility. If you're interested in learning how podcast guesting can help grow your real estate business in 2023, go to podcastingu.com/syndication to book your free discovery call.
And so to build a culture based on love, which is based on grace, right? And so to me, this is one of the greatest opportunities that I have at age 53 to try our best to build a healthy culture in the property management business. I think it's rare. It's kind of one of those things like sanctification. We want to be like Jesus, and we're going to spend all of our life trying to grow in our sanctification to be more, but we're never going to get there. We're never perfect. There's one Jesus. All the rest of us are sinners. So to me, it's the culture. I don't think that we'll ever get there, but it's just going to be this pursuit that we have to build a really healthy culture of love and grace.
Sutton Turner, welcome to the show. Honored to have you. I'm excited about the conversation. Really excited for the listeners to get to learn from you, your experience. It's very unique. I just think the Lord has used you in so many ways across your just years of experience. And I'm looking forward to diving in. So welcome.
Thanks, Whitney. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I know I shared just a little bit beforehand with listeners about you and, you know, your role CEO of LifeBridge Management, you know, and our partnership there. You know, give the listeners a little more about your background, and we're going to dive into a few of those things because I know there's so many lessons that I want them to learn from you, but man, fill them in a little bit.
Yeah, it goes back to middle 90s. Graduated from MBA school at SMU, and between my first and second year of MBA school, my brother and I started a management company, property company, bought 10,000 units over a 2-year period of time, and then took a portion of those, started a management company, and he and I started what was called Wentwood. He still runs Wentwood today. We worked together for 10 years. And then really, over the last 30 years, so to speak, I have done property management or some type of real estate management, and full-time ministry and property management, full-time ministry. And it's just back and forth, and the Lord continues to do that. And when we had the opportunity to team up together, this will be my fourth property management company that we started, what was that, 7 months ago at LifeBridge Management. Started the company with my brother. Fast forward 2008, I went to Abu Dhabi and started a property management company there. It's called Khidma, which means service in Arabic. And then after setting that management company up, the Qatar government hired me to totally redo their property management company called Barwa. And the Wasif was the property management company there. And then I left there, went back into full-time ministry as an executive pastor of Mars Hill Church in Seattle. And then after Mars Hill Church closed, went back into real estate. And then, you know, it's just been back and forth, back and forth. I'm very thankful the Lord has continued to grow me during all these different experiences.
It's incredible. And I want to make sure the listeners understand that Abu Dhabi is not a small town in Texas.
No. Yeah, it was a Sharia law company in a Sharia law country. It was by far the greatest ministry experience I've ever had the opportunity to be in. Literally, many, many, many people would come up to me and go, "You're the first Christian I've ever met. Can I ask you some questions?" And just amazing, amazing ministry opportunity in a country that if I get caught proselytizing or evangelizing the gospel, they throw me in jail. They tear up my visa. They put me in jail and kick my family out of the country immediately. So it's not something that you do lightly, but it was an amazing experience. Both when I went to Qatar, I had the opportunity. My chairman was the prime minister of Qatar at the time. Just an amazing, powerful man. Both of those opportunities were Arab board of directors that I reported to. Both of these were public companies. So it was just incredible. It was so much learning and growing during that time when you're halfway around the world. You see, like we would go to on spring break, we went to China one time. And you would visit things that are too far for America. And it was an incredible growing experience for my two girls at the time. We adopted a son from Ethiopia based on some of our experiences that we had had there. So life-changing, life transformation, an incredible ministry opportunity.
Love that. I appreciate you sharing and just the opportunity that you see it as, and that so much you learned. Well, I would say not many listeners, including myself, have thought about, maybe I could go do something in Abu Dhabi, how did that come up that, maybe I could do a property management company in Abu Dhabi? Like, what did that transition look like as far, even just seeing an opportunity there and then pursuing it?
After working with my brother for 10 years, I really wanted to change and do something different. I was became pastor of a church in Georgetown, Texas, and went back to school. And so got my third master's degree at Harvard University and at the Harvard Business School. And in my cohort class, there were 51% of our class was from outside of the United States. I met somebody from Abu Dhabi at the time. I had no idea where Abu Dhabi was. And I really felt the urge and wanting to go international. We had little kids. It was going to be easy for time-wise in our marriage and our family for us to move overseas. And my wife, one time after coming back from Massachusetts and Boston, she said, as long as we don't go to the Middle East, I'll go anywhere. And so as soon as she said it, I was like, oh, great, we're going to go to the Middle East. And so one thing led to another. That was the Lord's very good to me. He gives me one door. He never gives me option one, option two, option three. He just opens one door. I just walk through it. Maybe I'm a simple guy and he can't confuse the things, but that was the one door. Went over there, thought it was going to be a consulting role, met His Excellency, actually interviewed me directly. And then he said, stood up at the table and goes, so can you do what you did in the United States here? And I was like, sure. And I was thinking consulting. He goes, okay, go down the hall, talk to Muhammad, and you will be my CEO. I need you to start in 2 weeks. And literally left. That was our negotiation. Okay. So I went down the hall to Muhammad and I told him what had happened. He said, did His Excellency tell you how much salary to pay you? And I said, no, I have no idea. And he goes, and I had done my research, thank goodness. And I gave him a number, and that was the number I was hired at. So just things are different in the Middle East. And it was an amazing ride. We hired over 600 people that first year. I got an opportunity to go to the Philippines, so many different places in India. And I physically went to those places to hire our workers. It was really important to me to cut the middleman out. There's a lot of really bad employee hiring practices that happen in the Middle East. And I went there. I went to Nepal. I went to Bangladesh. I looked at the people. I literally, there were times that people would translate for me and I would say, do not to all the employees. So we'd go to someplace like the Kot, Bangladesh. And I would tell, we'd be hiring 50 people. And I would say, if they don't have, at the time I had a khidma shirt on, if they don't have this shirt on, don't pay them any money. Because there were so many things that people would do to make them pay to be able to, and I'm like, no, we're going to pay these people for the service they provided today. You pay no one so that you can send money back to your family that needs it. And then that was really, honestly, a part of my ministry there. because so many people were like, why are you going to all this? And I was like, because these people are created in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And I want to serve and love them. I have no more worth than they do. And so I'm going to do everything they can that I can in my role to make sure that they're able to really change their family's direction by having this job in the Middle East.
Wow. There's so many things there that we can unpack or talk about. I mean, you learned so many lessons from that. I have no doubt. Even hiring 600 people in the first year, I don't know. I know anybody that's ever done that. You know, that's that one thing, much less in a culture that's, it's not like you just, you know, move to Ohio, you know, like you moved to a different culture that, you know, saw, I mean, you were an absolute outsider, you know, in every aspect of the term, you know, and you had to create a business there that, man, from scratch, right? And hiring 600 people. Give us maybe a couple of lessons learned from having to hire 600 people, a couple of ways that you streamlined that process to be able to do that.
Well, first of all, it wasn't just me. I had the most amazing team. His Excellency allowed me to go out and hire all of my lead team before we hired anybody else. So I hired my COO, who was my long-term friend from the United States. I hired...
And they came over as well?
Oh, yeah. Director of Facility Management from Australia. I mean, I could hire anybody from any place in the world and hire the very best. And I did. And then brought that team in. And then we went and hired. So it was not just me. And then there was a couple of people. Elias was one of the guys that was super, he was from India, super knew a whole lot about workers and hiring workers. And then we just pulled a map out and we just said, okay, where can we hire English speaking maintenance guys? Okay. We can hire that from Cebu City, Philippines. Where can we hire Arabic speaking maintenance guys? Okay. We can hire that from Cairo, Egypt. And I mean, literally we would go around the world and figure out. Dakot was where we hired all of our gardeners and landscape people. They had a training facility in Nepal that trained security guards. And so literally you just like call all my call center people came from Manila that spoke English. And then we had two other places that we hired for Arabic. So, I mean, literally you just go around the world and say, okay, how many do we need of this and this? And I knew the number of properties that we were going to be taking and launching with. And they gave me a blank check. So we went out and, you know, pretty much, you know, did it like you would want to. And one of those things, you know, I mean, I was there for 2 years, then handed off to my deputy CEO, who was Emirati. Both places, they wanted me to hire somebody and train them to be the CEO, which was amazing. Both those two people were my friends, taught me so much about Islam, taught me so much about the world. And then I taught them, okay, how do you run a board meeting? How do you hire? How do you terminate? So I had done all of that in the past. So I was teaching both those guys and it was a great experience for them. And then actually when I first moved over there, my wife didn't want to move in the summertime. So I moved and stayed 3 months in the guy that I handed the company over to in Khidma and lived in his house. And he was a Muslim and he taught me everything. I mean, like literally I would go and hang out with him. We would go eat Yemeni food. I would go to these places that normal Christian Americans would not go to, but I was so inquisitive and wanting to learn, wanting to really understand the culture and very respectful. And he just kind of opened the door. There were many times I went to funerals. I went to an Islamic funeral where only men go. I was the only person in a suit. Everybody else was dressed in their kandora. Just amazing experiences that I'll take with me for the rest of my life.
No doubt about it. There's so much, man, we could dive into, but for time's sake, give us the top, you know, 1-2 lessons that you learned from that experience starting a management company in the Middle East that you even apply today.
It's all about building a team that they're strengths cover other people's weaknesses on the team, and they value each other on the team. So I had most amazing leadership team, kind of similar to what we have at LifeBridge Management, to where everyone has a role. They appreciate other people's role on that team. They value what the other person can bring to the team. And then in that environment, there's so much fear in the Middle East. And to be frank, at Mars Hill, with Mark Driscoll, there was so much fear. And so this opportunity that we have with LifeBridge Management, I wanted to go hard after love, after building a healthy culture, and to just fight a fear wherever I saw it, because it was such a fearful environment. You don't just lose your job in the Middle East. Your family has to immediately move. Your kids have to leave school. I mean, it's such a fearful environment. They fear. So as we've set up LifeBridge Management, I've wanted to do everything that we could to remove fear, replace it with love, love one another, do unto one another. And I love our core values, where we really place a lot of value in humility and ownership, grit, but more importantly, anything like joyfulness. And so yes, a company or a culture that has joyfulness, man, you never saw that in the Middle East. They're just so little joy because they're so worried about good deeds versus bad deeds. And they're so worried about how many times, you know, making it to five times in worship and doing all the things that they need to do. So much is works-based. And so to build a culture based on love, which is based on grace, right? And so to me, this is one of the greatest opportunities that I have at age 53 to try our best to build a healthy culture in the property management business. I think it's rare. It's kind of one of those things like sanctification. We want to be like Jesus, and we're going to spend all of our life trying to grow in our sanctification to be more, but we're never going to get there. We're never perfect. There's one Jesus. All the rest of us are sinners. So to me, it's the culture. I don't think that we'll ever get there, but it's just going to be this pursuit that we have to build a really healthy culture of love and grace.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I just hope the listeners hear that from you and even from just LifeBridge in general, we focus on our core values. We love our people from the top to the bottom. And I hope it shows, right? I hope it comes out in everything that we do. And
well, Whitney, the most important thing to establish that is that I love you. I love Sam. Sam loves me and my family. There is at the very top of LifeBridge is there's three guys that love each other and want each other to grow in Christ. I mean, like,
yeah.
And so you can do that because I've worked in organizations to where the top doesn't set the example for the rest of the organization. Yeah. But what you guys started that I got a chance to join had that culture of love in there. And now we're just going to transfer that down our organization because we love one another.
I'll share a little story. You know, a little over a year ago, you know, Sam and I were like, man, we got to hire an asset manager. And we thought we have got to get, you know, like we can keep up. Sam was, you know, just doing too much on the asset management side too and looking for deals. And so, okay, we got to hire an asset manager. So we put a post out through the network and a mutual friend connected me to Sutton. He introduced us, you know, said, hey, this guy may be a great fit for you all. And so reached out to Sutton. And I remember connecting with him, having first maybe just like 30-minute call together to say, hey, you know, this is what we're looking for. Who are you? kind of thing, and getting to know each other. And then afterwards, I remember talking to Sam and thinking, hey, there's no reason this guy's going to work for us. There's just no reason he's gonna work for, like he could go work for anybody. There's no reason he's, you know, but we need to figure this out, see if it's actually going to happen or not. So anyway, I just say that to say, man, you know, even as the listeners here, I mean, just the experience level that Sutton had, so wow, what an asset to our team that I no doubt that he would be great cultural fit. It was just a no brainer, but I really thought he's out of our league. You know, it's not the type of thing, but man, the Lord really shone through that. But even then we had no idea at that time that we were going to be standing up our own management company. Yeah. And I know he even expressed, hey, I'm not even interested in starting a management company at the time, but he was interested in that's
it's way too hard to work. And if you, and see, that's where the Lord is so good. Cause yeah. he knows that if you came to me and say, hey, I really want to start, I'd be like, no, I've done that three times. I don't want to do it fourth time. It's too hard. And the Lord knows, okay, yeah. asset management, I mean, like anybody can do asset management, like it's not very hard. Okay, I can do that. But I mean, like the Lord knew, like, okay, I'm going to get him in the door with this way, and then we're going to do this other. And so the Lord is so good. He knows us so well. And so many times I just laugh. Yeah,
no doubt. He knew what we needed long before we ever knew, right?
No, he knows how to bait my hook. I mean, like, okay, get Sutton to move. Okay, this yeah. is it. Yeah.
So all I'd say, man, you know, we had no idea at that time that we were going to be moving in, you know, the property management business and needing that in house. Obviously, lots of things happened that was like, okay, this is like, we don't really have a choice. Like, this has got to happen. Sudden, let's kind of shift gears a little bit. Came in as asset manager and with no doubt, you know, experience starting management companies. And all of a sudden, obviously, we needed that, right? In a big way. It was, the writing was on the wall for us. We said, okay, we're having these issues. And actually, I want to back up even a little more, because even hiring you with your experience, you know, coming in as an asset manager, I think ultimately what you did for Sam and I at that time was like, you know, there were like blinders that came off. You were revealing things within our properties and within the management company that, you know, we were using at the time. It's like, okay, we thought we were doing better than we were, you know? And so all of a sudden we start, we start pushing on the management company and we cared about them. And we're like, okay, but we can see inefficiencies. Let's help you all improve. Let's push a little bit. And that didn't go so well. And so all of a sudden we're like, okay, now that we know these things, we got to do something about it, right? Yeah. And not, I mean, for our investors, for our team, yeah. you know, all across the board. I want you to share a little bit about this. You'll remember it better than I even, for sure. But we set a timeline, you know, yeah. it's like, okay, within what, 4 to 6 months, we better be willing or able yeah. to have our own management company operating. And then all of a sudden we got like 30 days.
30 days.
So yeah. share a little bit of that transition for, you know, just for LifeBridge from your seat, you know, you were the asset manager and all of a sudden it's like, yeah. okay, we're going to be going back into the management world, you know, and we're yeah. going to make this happen.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, Whitney, is when you have third-party management companies that are on a 30-day cancelable contract, there's no transparency. There's not, because they're worried, and again, fear of losing their job as the property manager. They're not going to be 100% transparent with you. So me coming in, I saw through that, saw some of the issues that were on the properties and some of the issues as far as just reporting and those types of things to where you could see the true thing. And you never make money in property management. It's not profitable. So the only reason you're going to go through the pain and the difficulty on setting it up is transparency, and for us to have a culture of love from the very, very top of LifeBridge Capital all the way down to the border at one of our properties in Colorado Springs. And the only way to do that is to take over your own management company. And so that's where we decided. I also wanted to make sure that we set up a management company that was super flexible. And I can say this, we have 1,600 units. We could take over another 1,600 units in 90 days. Most management companies can't. Why? Because we're 100% remote. We have not spent any money on a real office. I think we pay $1,800 a month right now for a little bitty office space for me, my wife and I, who is our CFO, who is the best thing that's ever happened to LifeBridge Management. She's a CPA, worked with me in the past for 10 years, and is just a super sharp shooter. But we've set an office up in the Philippines, super expandable. That's based upon someone that I used to work with when I was in Abu Dhabi. And we've leveraged that and we're growing that. But we could literally take over. We outsource our accounting side to Smart Source Accounting, so that if we called them up and said 90 days, we're going to have 1,600 more units, we could do it. We could take over that. We are super flexible, also flexible on selling. And that's the key. property management companies that are third party don't like you to sell your property. They don't want you to sell your property because they're going to lose that management fee. Okay. I'm the opposite because we're in-house and I'm fine. Like, it doesn't matter if we expand or contract because we're not doing this to make money. If you're in the property management business, you're doing it to make money. So, and I think it's important for, there's a lot of people that would say, oh, we'd never do property management. It would distract us from the investment side. And I say, actually, I'm hopefully freeing up Sam and Luke and the team to be, and to you, to do investor relations so that you guys aren't having to worry about the property management side of things. And you guys are able to focus on what you want to do. And because you trust me and we built that trust up, it's not like I'm not going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes actually, but I'm going to tell you my mistakes because I have no fear that you're going to fire me. And so it's that culture that is the reason kind of we went through it. And it was a fast. We took over all those properties. We got an additional 30 days. So within 60 days, we went from not planning on being the property management business for at least 6 or 8 months to, holy cow, we're going to take over 1,600 units or almost 1,600 units in 60 days. Thank goodness my wife joined, which was the key, because she and I are totally opposites. We complement each other totally, and we're the basis of our management team at Lethbridge Management.
Yeah, and hired how many people in that amount of time? 30, 40 people?
Yeah, we're now 50, yeah. 7 months later. So we've had quite a bit, and we could go 100. I mean, we're so set up now to be expandable, to grow with what Lethbridge wants to grow. Like for us to take over the properties that we're looking at right now, I don't want to name them, but the properties that we're looking at right now, super easy for us to do. And I can take over a portfolio. I already have somebody that can be my regional already in our system. So I'm ready to go. So even though we're small from a property management side, we're super flexible because of the way that we've set things up.
Love it. And we couldn't have done it without all the experience you had too. You know, like it's just incredible again how the Lord just prepared us, prepared you and our team to grow in this manner and to be flexible like that. I don't think that's common, right? You know, speak to maybe in your role now, you know, as we look at new projects, I just, you know, from the CEO of the management company seat, you know, maybe speak to a couple ways, you know, you think through as people are concerned about the economy or concerned about a potential downturn. What do you like to see, you know, as far as saying, okay, Whitney, Sam, this is a deal that I feel really good about, even in a potential downturn? Or maybe you see, you want this kind of reserves, or you want this kind of business plan, or maybe, I don't know, just kind of elaborate a little bit from your seat, what that looks like from the property management side in a deal that you feel just confident in, say, from day one.
I think it has a lot to do with the physical asset. So if this is a 1970s type of property, what's the situation with the boilers and what could be on down the road? There's very little that I haven't seen in property management side. So yes, physical asset, other market, like one of the markets that we're looking at right now and we're building towards, it's just a phenomenal growth area, a great, great area for growth. And I think it's a great property, physical asset. So you, those two things. And then can I hire? I mean, property management, I've said it a million times, property management is people management. It is. Yes, we're in the real estate business, but really we're in the people business because I can't run these properties. Marcy can't, my wife can't run these properties alone. It requires amazing people on site that are dealing with these rents. So can we hire a great staff to be able to run those properties? So to me, if we can do, if all those three things check out, let's go. Now, we will have problems. There are properties that we've taken over where we didn't realize some of the things that were there, and you work through those. But what I like is in our situation is we have transparency. So as soon as I find something out, I'm slacking you and Sam, or I'm on our Slack channel with our whole company saying, hey, this is what we're found. Hey, just found this out. Like, I just found this out 5 minutes ago. And so I'm broadcasting that out so that you all know what's going on. In a third-party management company, that doesn't happen. they're trying to fix that problem before the owners find out. And that's what I love about us, because to me, your awareness, because especially when I look at like Sam's World, buy, sell this property, do we hold it for long terms? Those, some of those decisions, I'm giving him complete information real time, so that as that thing changes, he knows what's going on. He knows my biggest worries, my concerns on these properties. And so to me, I'm trying to give you guys perfect information so that you're able to make the very best investment decision possible.
Yeah, no doubt. It's just crucial. It's a man. I just think that's another way that we're going to rise above most, right? It is, no doubt about it. What do you see, Sutton, as, you know, one of the bigger challenges for, say, you know, us specifically, or Lifebridge Management, you know, coming from the CEO management CEO seat, and then how we're tackling that?
Retention. We need to retain these good people that know our system, know our culture, love our culture. So as we sell properties, we might have to relocate a manager. Also, my team in the Philippines, the culture that we're building there to me is incredibly critical. That loving one another in the Philippines is very critical, because I can't lose any of our team that's there. The longer that people are able to stay a part of our management company, love our culture, know our systems, know our processes, be able to answer the question before it's even asked because they have some past history. Those to me are going to be critical as we grow. To have a property manager today become a regional manager in the future, I want people to see that. Oh, Lifebridge Management, that's a company that I could grow with. And not only that, they're going to take somebody that may be a leasing agent today and then is a property manager and then becomes a regional manager. Oh, I want to do that. I want to grow with this business. So to me, building that in our culture is super important for our future, important for our future. And there might be some shortcuts that we're having to avoid and take the long way to invest in someone, to develop someone. But in the long run, we're going to be so much farther ahead.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we can do that because we have somebody like yourself in in-house management, right? Yeah, no doubt
Absolutely.
About it. All right. Well, shifting gears a little bit, Sutton, with just a few minutes we have left, I want to really just focus on you more personally. But what are some of the most important metrics that you track? It could be personally or professionally. I tell people it could be how many times you get out of bed on time to your bench press number or something, you know, professionally related.
So metrics business-wise, you know this very well because I share this with you often. I'm a big total dollars collected per month. I don't care as much about occupancy. I don't care as much about leased. I want to know how much money we put in the bank, and I want it broken down into two categories. Rental, how much rent revenue we put in the bank, and how much other income we put in the bank, and then you add those two together. I want to know those three numbers every single month. That's my biggest sign, because collecting money takes so much effort by a property manager. And that to me, those stair step, is that number increasing over time? Okay. Because it's increasing over time, I know their occupancy is probably going up. I know their lease percentage is going up. I don't have to worry about those numbers if money in the bank continues to go. So economic collections, economic occupancy, a lot of people call it, but that's to me. Me personally, I love to exercise. It's my way of getting stress out. So every morning at 6:15, I go to Orange Theory. I've been there since 2018, coming up on my 1,000th class. I need to do at least 3 a week. Sometimes it's 5 a week, you know, and burn 600, 700 calories and get after it. Because at 53, I need to maintain a health going forward. I've seen a lot of people in their 50s not put forth the effort into what they're eating or exercising. And I want to, I've got a young son. I've got a 12-year-old son. I will be 60 years old when he graduates from high school. And I want to be as active as possible. I also want to be a part of Lifebridge Management for a long period of time. So those are all the things. And I think physical activity is really important.
No doubt about it. It just speaks to so many other things, but just your drive. Sutton is a very get it done type of guy and very able and able to go make it happen. We've just seen it happen so many times over the last year. And obviously just from his story, I just think so many of those things wouldn't have, I mean, hiring 600 people in a year, it doesn't happen by letting the grass grow under your feet. Right. Or just not being confident, you know, that you can go make it happen. And so no doubt we saw that in him and said, hey, that's what we got to have on our team, you know, if at all possible. Sutton, how do you like to give back?
Oh, wow. So the older I get, the more that I like to dig into that. So it's really two ways. I teach a class. I live in College Station, Texas, the home of Texas A&M. I'm an Aggie. And I teach three finance/real estate classes. They all have it on one day. I teach a freshman class on finance. I teach a real estate class for undergraduates and then their master's class. And during those classes, I talk about my story, talk about being in ministry, talk about real estate, talk about the Middle East. And I open up to anybody that wants to follow up at LinkedIn, et cetera. And I, many times after having that day, I will have 26 coffees coming up over the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Some of those, there's a young man that I meet with once a month right now. I've met with him since he's a freshman. He's graduating in May. We've talked about everything from girls to job to whatever. I pray with him. I'm very open with my faith. So some people would say that's discipleship. Some people say that's mentorship, but that's one tangible way. The other way, because I was executive pastor at Mars Hill Church with Mark Driscoll, the most amazing downfall of a mega church we've probably seen in America, I get a lot of people reaching out to me asking questions about how to deal with either church hurt or they have a disqualifying pastor situation and they've reached out to me for my insight. Now, I'm not saying I have done it poorly in the past and done some decent things along the way. So I'm not perfect in that way. But for some reason, people know my story, know my experience and say, you know, and I never charge them. I just love on them. Sometimes I'm just praying with them, but then I might have I responded this way to the media when that happened at Mars Hill. And my recommendation would be not to do that or to do that or some other way of learning from my past. And so I feel like that's an ongoing, it's using what God's done in the past to possibly help somebody. And the one thing I can always do is show empathy towards them, to pray with them, to love on them, to encourage them, because many of them don't know who to turn to in that moment of church hurt.
And well, that's an incredible way to give back. I just have a great deal of respect for that and just loving on young men who probably, you know, don't have somebody like yourself or that father figure or somebody to mentor them in a big way. So many men were placed in my life during that time period. I can look back and think, man, the Lord placed this guy. I mean, just at the perfect time, right? Totally. I needed that guidance or then all of a sudden it was somebody else that was like another father figure. And then, I mean, I can see that so many times. And so yeah. I just think that's incredible that you're taking the time to focus on that.
So you think about this. When I was a freshman at Texas A&M, long time ago, early 90s, there was an AME pastor that was my professor. And he took me to lunch several times and loved on me, encouraged me, and literally, fast forward, he married my wife and I. I have a African-American son that's a direct result of him coming in and changing my point of view on so many things. And so, like, if I can be used by the Lord to help one person out of those 26 every time I teach, it's well worth the investment. You never know what the Lord might do with those types of relationships. And so I just offer that energy and effort towards that and allow the Lord to do with what he might do.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm grateful for how you're giving back to us today, Sutton, and just, man, talking through how you got started in the management business. 10,000 units in 2 years, that doesn't happen. I mean, most people can't even fathom doing something like that, much less moving to the Middle East, starting a company there, hiring 600 people in a year. I mean, wow, you know, all these things. And then coming back, you know, joining our team, starting Lockbridge Management, just grateful for, you know, the lessons learned that you shared with us today. How can the listeners get in touch with you or learn more about you?
So pretty easy. I'm on Twitter @SuttonTurner, and then on LinkedIn. Please feel free. If there's any way I can serve somebody in any way, whether it be ministry related or property management related, I'd love to serve and help as many people as we possibly can.
Thank you for being with us again today. I hope that you have learned a lot from the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I hope you're telling your friends about the Real Estate Syndication Show and how they can also build wealth in real estate. You can also go to lifebridgecapital.com and start investing today.